the body of the whale. Johnny Flynn had told Ryan that speed was essential after the kill had been completed, for two reasons. The body would not float for very long, so it had to be tied alongside the mothership. Also, the voracious predators that roamed the deep oceans would scent blood at a dozen miles or more, catch the sound signals of distress from the dying leviathan at 10 times that range. They'd come to try to rend their own share of the spoils before the seamen could break down the carcass to blubber and oil.
What of Jacob Lusk?
Flames it open and the wretch might still be living. I've heard of such happening. Years back in Nantucket, so they used to say.
He could be alive.
If we're right quick in gutting the beast, then he might yet live.
The Salvation was heaving too, only a stone's cast away from the boats. Captain Quad was leaning over the bow, the telescope in her fist.
It took a man.
Aye, Seaman Jacob Lusk.
Clean swallowed?
Aye, ma'am.
Fix lines and we'll haul it alongside. Got a man on the windlass. Sling the boats to the davits sharp as new paint, Mr. Ogg. Then all hands to Flint and render down.
Aye, ma'am.
The first mate turned to his crew.
I'll drive a spike through your knees if you toddle and lollygag around, my hearties. Let's do it!
It was chaos on a grandly, bloodily organized scale. Ryan had been on hunts before, after the muty deer and moose in the foothills of the ranging snow-tipped darks. He'd seen the excitement of the Ville when the carcasses were brought home on the backs of the catwags, but he'd never seen anything like the activity on board the Salvation. As soon as the whale boats were hoisted on the deck, the men tumbled out and ran to their appointed places. Ryan and Donfo hadn't received any orders and stood, confused, amid the scurrying, bellowing bedlam. Ryan never heard the woman come up behind him. Most of the time, the wrapping of a cane located her position on the ship. But when she wanted, Iroquois could move as quietly as a tracking tiger. The first warning Ryan Cotter had was a cracking buffet to the side of his head that deafened him and made him stagger, nearly falling into the scuppers from the shock and force of the blow. Donfo began to turn, but he was too slow. The woman grabbed him by the front of his soaking shirt with one hand, then tugged his head lower so that she could slap him across the face with the other hand. The Apache was unable to move with surprise.
Get with Mr. Ogg's crew and do what thou art blazing told, thou scum ballast!
She raised her stick as though she were going to lash out at the tall mescalero, but hesitated a wary moment at the look of scarlet murder that blazed in his eyes. She turned away from them and walked to the port side of the ship to watch the attempts to rescue the vanished seaman from the belly of the whale. Donfo rubbed at his face with a wondering hand.
By soon. No woman born of man has ever, can ever. If any of the people of my tribe had seen that, then the shame would mean I'd need to chill her, tear the heart still beating from her body and devour it. Then, and only then, I could take my own life with some shred of honor.
Ryan led the way to where Johnny Flynn and the others from their boat's crew were working.
Thought you wanted to stick around and give the life of a whaler a try at.
It was a good day for the hunt, my brother. And as I took the life of that monster of dark water, I felt his spirit flow to mine. Yes, Ryan Cotter, the job of harpooner could be wonderful, but only when that daughter of cold fire has quit life.
Captain Piraquad was back on the quarterdeck, watching as the two mates led the rest of the men. Once the dead whale was tied alongside, a half dozen of the most experienced and nimble hands swarmed down lines and began to hack their way into the creature. Blood flooded out, crimsoning the sea for 100 paces around. Captain Plott had ordered the yards back so that the Salvation only crept forward slowly, avoiding too much pitching and rolling. The men worked with special butchering tools, such as knives with blades 3 feet long, lethally sharp, fixed into wooden hafts another 4 feet in length. They cut gray hunks of meat from the animal, attaching iron hooks to it, while the men on board ran and scurried like monkeys, pulling and stacking the blubber, slicing it into smaller pieces ready for the tripods. The cooks were loading hunks of the meat into the smoking ovens, ready to begin the stinking process of rendering it down to fine oil.
Cut deep for Jacob Lusk's sake!
The skipper cupped her hands to her mouth to make sure her orders were heard. Ryan and Donfil took their place on the lines, pulling up the dripping haunches of meat and carrying them to the growing pile on the main deck, then throwing the hooked cords down to the furiously hacking men. Ryan found himself standing next to Yehu, both of them waiting a moment for more blubber to be attached to their ropes.
Can that poor bastard still live?
Jacob?
Yeah.
The round little head shook and nodded at the same time, so that Ryan couldn't tell whether he was saying yes or no. The only sound was the clean thunking of steel blades, biting into the quivering flesh of the harpooned whale.
Well, Yehu, can he still be alive? He'll have choked to death.
Jacob might have climbed the ladder to the peace that passeth all understanding. Now he sitteth at the right hand of all good and bad and different and all for rent, and rent his garments on the road to Basra well.
Ah, forget it, you double crazy stoop.
But Yehu, little eyes fixed on Piraquad, who stood to their left, plucked at his sleeve.
What is it?
Master Ten from Ten, thy pagan friend.
What about him?
Do his people butcher the double crazies? Do they, huh?
No, they treat them well.
So it is on the Salvation. Sailed on her for 11 years, has Yehu. Not many on board this ship can say that. Too many chilled by the dark sea eagle, if thou dost take my meaning.
He nudged Ryan in the ribs to make his words more clear.
I get you, Yehu. There's nobody so sane as the crazy who isn't.
Clear through the ribs, Captain! All hands, cease work and stand by! Listen well, lads, for a word from Jacob!
Everyone obeyed Captain Quad's order immediately, glad of the chance for a brief break and the spine-cracking labor.
Two more trips and Mad Yehu will have the lays to buy a fine chandler's store near the quay, and be a man of leisure and pleasure and treasure.
You still haven't said if that poor bastard could be alive.
Been stories of it happening. They comes out much changed, so they says, with their minds set to wandering and their skin all...
Hold thy noise, thou pin-headed loon!
Oh, aye, Captain. I'll hold my tongue. So that I could be the floor.
Yehu gripped himself literally by the end of his tongue. The ship fell silent. Ryan was joined at the rail by the rest of the crew, peering down at the ruined carcass. The head remained untouched, but much of the meat of the sides and back and belly had already been hewed from the pale bones. Each of the Flensers had a safety rope tied around his waist to help him keep his balance on the slick flesh. One of the men called from down below, standing with head on one side, as though that might somehow help his hearing.
I hear something!
Then they all heard it.
Help me!
The sound was muffled, but distinct. A human voice crying for help. Cyrus Ogg broke the spell of stillness that fell upon every man on the ship.
Quickly, my lads!
The two hands standing deepest in the bloody wreckage began to cut and slice with a renewed vigor, opening up more of the noisome stomach of the whale.
Watch and do not fucking cut him apart with the lances!
Then one of the men clambered clumsily away, from where a glistening expanse of pale yellow intestine could be seen, rippling like a polecat trapped inside a silken bag.
Something's moving!
Ryan watched with the others, seeing that the swallowed seaman still lived and fought to tear himself free of the sack of guts that held him, a squealing, mewling prisoner. Like the birth of some muty lizard, the stomach wall tore open, and Jacob Lusk emerged. What had once been Jacob Lusk? Now it was as white as Jack Lauren's hair, bleached by the powerful acids in the stomach of the whale, acids that had already eaten away the shirt and pants from the seaman's body and left his skin